Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with the infamous David Niles.
Infamous, huh?
Yeah, it's one I haven't given you yet, I felt like.
Okay. Is that a good thing?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
I hope it is.
I think
it can be.
Okay. If it can be, then I'll take it in that sense.
Then we'll take it in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the sentiment.
Okay. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We do three things every episode. Dave, tell them what it is.
The first thing we do is open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. The second thing we
opened
is we highlight a man gear of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that every man probably has, wants, or
desires.
Is there a third category besides has and wants?
Wants and desires.
You either want it or you've got it already. Well, anyway, the third thing we do is we have a manly discussion. And we do that every show.
Yes. Manly discussion is something we always do.
Whoa. I'm pouring this. I'm pouring the man gear, the man beverage already. Look how black that is.
That is black. So our beverage today is given to us by Father Brian Ketterer. Father Brian is a priest of the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma. He is the Newman Center chaplain. He has been on the show before, and we should have him on again very soon. I don't know why we haven't had him on again, but we need to. He is a beer connoisseur, and he has a great palate for beer.
Oh my gosh. The best.
We've talked about it before on the episode. He's part of the Council of Man.
Yeah.
But he gave us this beer. He gave Dave this beer for us to try on our show today. The beer that we're trying is from Rough Tail Brewing, one of my favorite breweries, especially because it's here from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma beer.
It's their Polar Eclipse is the name of it. It's a stout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Oklahoma with the beer game is like pumping it up. We had people coming from, when we had our camp out this last year, we had guys coming from the West Coast and even the East Coast,
yeah,
both. And I gave them another beer by Rough Tail Brewing called Everything Rhymes with Orange, which is a
that was good.
I think we've reviewed it on our show before,
yeah,
a long, long time ago, but. It's a very citrusy IPA, and several of them tried it and were like, this is one of the best beers we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So the stigma that the Midwest or the middle part of the country doesn't brew good beers is just false.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree.
We're finally catching up.
It definitely used to be true.
Well, yeah, because our laws didn't allow us to even try.
You could, but they made it real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had a few breweries that have been around for a while. Bricktown Brewery.
Right.
It's been around for a long time, but it's like they make you jump through these legal loopholes to be able to brew and serve your beer on the same premises.
Yeah. Right.
But which is all changing now.
Right.
This year. I don't know when it kicks in. I know it's this year, but is it? Maybe it already has. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not positive. But I do know that if you get an opportunity to try Rough Tail Brewing, I would highly suggest it. There's not very many beers that I've tried from this brewery that has been subpar. They've all been pretty good, or great.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely try it out. so again, this is a polar eclipse. It's their stout. It's a seasonal late winter imperial stout. So anyway, let's try it. Go ahead.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
So this beer, there are a few things that when they appear on the can or bottle of a beer, I get excited. Some of those things are the words barrel, bourbon barrel aged.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The words imperial or double.
Mm-hmm. That's again,
or triple,
quadruple,
or quadruple.
Right.
Any of these things. So this is a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout.
It's very good. You can taste it's a coffee. It's very thick. It's a great winter beer. Very flavorful. You know, there's a lot of stouts out there that aren't like super flavorful stouts.
I think that's why I don't like a lot of porters, because you pour them and my eyes are telling me this is a stout. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like a stout sometimes, and I'm expecting this robust flavor. And then it's more of like a porter is kind of like a watered down stout.
Well,
and I know that there's a lot of people out there going to be mad I said that. That's fine.
That's fine. Don't, yeah. That's okay.
I'm willing to accept that I'm probably wrong about that, but it's my opinion nonetheless. There are great porters out there. I'm not trying to knock porters in general. I'm saying that very often that is the case, where my eyes are expecting one thing and my mouth doesn't get that. And so, it's just a matter of managing expectations, I think.
Right.
But this right here, this is it. And anytime Father Brian gives us something,
it's going to be really good.
It's kind of him going, hey, you need to try this.
Right.
And I can see why he gave us this one.
It's a very delicious beer. It's very chocolate, coffee. It's 12.2% ABV. So
I made a huge mess with this. I'm really sorry, dude. I got beer on your carpet. It's all over my hand.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
That's okay, I guess. But Dave, we're getting some new listeners, and there's probably guys that right now that are listening like, what the heck are we even listening to? I don't blame you if you're thinking that right now. But Dave kind of ran through what we do this first segment. All we do is really kind of like we open, review, and enjoy a beverage of some sort. Dave, why do we do that?
Well, kind of similar to you don't really know a man or a person until you share a meal with them. There's something about eating with another person that takes your relationship to the next level. There's something about it that's an intimate experience.
Sure.
Having a drink with somebody is also very, very similar to that. So it's important, I think. It's a good skill to be well-versed in the art of having a good drink, to know what you like, because that's really what is important. If you've tried it all and you think Bud Light is the best thing you've ever had, great, drink it. Everybody's going to judge you for it. Okay?
But dilly dilly.
You just need to be like, so you need to be firm enough in your decision and
confident
in your preference that you can say, you know what? Cool. You drink yours. I'll drink mine.
Right.
I mean, I don't think many people are going to come to that conclusion, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, it could be possible.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons we drink, is to perfect and promote the art of having a good drink. Not everybody can do that. Obviously, there are a lot of people who struggle with alcoholism. We try to bring that up from time to time, just because we are drinking on the show, that if you are someone who struggles, then obviously the manly thing for you to do is to have no drink, or to find a different manly beverage that you can drink. In fact, we've done other manly beverages that are not alcoholic on the show. We've done a couple. We've done coffee a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
We had someone drink Dr. Pepper.
That's true.
Steve Kunzweiler. He was drinking, which I personally love Dr. Pepper.
That's a Midwest thing too, I think.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
When I was in eighth grade, we went to Washington, D.C. They didn't have it. I couldn't believe it.
Right. I don't think that...
Dr. Pepper's phenomenal.
I don't think that people on the coasts...
Like Coke is like a distant second to me. Coke and Pepsi. Like, to me, the whole debate between Coke and Pepsi is not even a thing, because just drink Dr. Pepper.
I don't really drink soda very much at all, so...
I mean, I don't either, but
I'm not really in that discussion.
If I do, Dr. Pepper is easily the winner.
Yeah.
Easy. So anyway, Also, I think if you're drinking with someone who you know struggles with alcohol, then maybe not appropriate to have a drink. Like,
right?
I don't know. That's a situation, you know, you got to use your judgment on. Mm-hmm. But also, alcohol is a good thing. God made it, and he made the things of this earth good, and they should be enjoyed for their goodness. And so we rejoice in God's creation here on the show in the first segment by reviewing some of his finer points.
That's true. And, you know, Dave, our show kind of developed from a group that we went to, Pint, Pipe, and Cross, which is kind of a group that was mirrored by G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, these guys who would, J.R.R. Tolkien, all these guys would go to pubs and kind of have a beer and talk about philosophy, theology.
Yeah, you know, the pipe, the pint, and the cross go very well together, is what they discovered.
I think that's G.K. Chesterton, yeah. But, you know, so that's kind of how we mirrored the shows off that off of that group. Mm-hmm. And I think most men enjoy a beer or a whiskey or something like that, which is why we do it.
Yeah, totally.
But this beer is absolutely delicious.
I cannot recommend this one highly enough. If you can find this at your local liquor store, you should buy it because it is really good. It makes me want to go outside and stand in the snow and drink this beer. With appropriate clothing, obviously.
Right.
But this is a cold weather beer.
Yeah, it really is. So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. That's the second thing we do every episode on the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. Prepare for the manliness to increase. This is segment number two. Our man gear today is a good movie. I know that's not exactly a gear, something you might wear or carry. I guess you could carry a good movie around.
No one carries DVDs or Blu-rays around. Yeah,
I know. It would be weird.
Yeah.
You're right. DVDs are gone. They're dead.
Yep. So are Blu-rays.
Netflix. Netflix killed the radio star.
That's true. That is very true.
Man, do you remember when you could actually get like DVDs in the mail?
Mm-hmm.
Can you still do that?
I don't know if Netflix still does that or not. I'm not sure.
And then the question would be, why would you do that?
If you don't have the internet.
I wonder if they have movies available to receive in the mail that are not available to stream.
I have no idea.
Yes, I suppose you could not have the internet. That would also be weird.
That would also be very weird. Yes, I agree. I agree.
Hmm. Anyway, our topic today is, our topic for the second half of the show is going to be how to celebrate Sundays. And so I was trying to think of what's a good thing that we, you know, men can do with their families or with their friends, just, you know, with their people, with people in their lives on a Sunday. You know,
right.
Whoever it is you're spending Sunday with.
Right.
What can you do together? There's a lot of things you could do. You could play a board game. But I just thought of a good movie. I think sometimes TV, if something involves the television, it's kind of like there's an automatic, with some, especially very Catholic families, there's an aversion towards anything that comes out of the television.
Well, that's just bad metaphysics. In all honesty,
I see what you're doing there. Yes,
that is bad metaphysics. Abuse does not mean not being able to use.
Right, exactly. For example, the beer that we're drinking here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes people are like, "Oh no, we don't need to watch a movie. We don't have the TV on. Let's play a board game." And board games are great. I love board games. But the main gear today,
I'd recommend it.
Totally. The Man Gear is a movie, and I think that when it comes to watching a movie, you should do it right. First of all, pick a good one. Don't pick a stupid movie. Okay, pick one like Lord of the Rings. Have you seen it yet?
Nope.
I thought you were going to try to watch it like over your New Year's break or something.
I tried to watch, but it wasn't on Netflix.
No, it's not on Netflix. So it's because it's really good.
Yeah, so I don't have it.
You know, they don't have like the really good movies.
Well, that's my in.
Okay. Well.
So.
Somebody please bring Adam the... even though he was just bashing DVDs, someone please bring him the DVD.
I'm still bashing DVDs.
So that he can watch it. But...
I am planning on, I'm taking a trip here pretty soon to China, and so I'm going to have a very long plane ride, and I plan on reading The Hobbit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I have it here in my studio, and that is my goal, is to read, because I have 17 hours there, or 16 and a half hours there, 17 and a half hours back, so I got some time.
Yeah. I think you can get it done in that amount of time. I mean, you're going to be sleeping for part of that.
Right.
You know, it's not
right.
like you're going to be sitting there with your eyeballs open. Right.
Yeah.
And also, you can only read for
so long
before you start to just...
Eyes bleed.
Yeah. Your brain starts to liquefy.
Right.
And you die.
Yeah.
From overreading.
Careful.
Yeah. It's like a muscle. You can work yourself up to being able to read longer, but just not... You know, you got to be well-trained. That's what I'm trying to say. So anyway, with the movie, I think that if you're going to watch a movie, it's a great thing to do as a family, especially if you have a good movie to watch. Like around Christmas, watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome movie. There's also a number of good... I was raised on Disney movies, so maybe I'm, you know, just biased towards those because I watched them as a kid. You know, everybody has...
A lot of them, like the new ones, are not very good.
No, I agree. The old ones, though... Those are pretty good. You know what movie is scary? Is Snow White. No. Sleeping Beauty. That movie's like...
Dude, I don't remember.
If you watch it again, the stepmom who's the witch, she's scary. Like,
I don't know anything about this.
That's okay. Just trust me. For a little kid, I'm not sure why I wasn't really scared.
Right.
During that movie. Anyway, get your family together if you're going to watch a movie. And make a thing of it. You know, make popcorn, turn the lights down, get the blankets out, maybe a fire. I don't know. Just whatever you can. Make it an experience.
It's the ambiance.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just like anything else. You guys could sit down and play a board game, or you could make it a family board game. You could watch a movie, just like, hey, you guys want to watch a movie? Okay, let's watch a movie. Or you could make a big deal out of it, because you could say, hey, it's Sunday. Tonight, we're going to watch this movie.
Yes.
You know, it's mandatory that you're here, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And this is what we're doing as a family.
Okay.
Because that's really what it's about. It's about doing something together as a family. And I know a lot of people are going to say a movie, just because you're sitting there watching a movie doesn't mean that you're like really having family together time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be true. And it also cannot be true, especially if after the movie... You say, hey, what did you guys think? You know, do you want to talk about it? Because
that's something I've never done before.
You've never talked about a movie after you've seen it?
No.
I'll bet you have talked about almost every single movie after you've seen it.
Not like right after I saw it.
I know.
Maybe like the day after.
Yeah, sure. Okay, maybe.
I thought you were meaning like after the movie's over, you turn it off and, okay, family, what do you think? It's like, that's not something I've ever done.
I've totally done that.
Really?
Yeah. Especially, you do it, especially if you go to the theater.
Oh, well, that's, again, something I haven't been to.
I went to a movie with you not too long ago. I guess it was the Star Wars movie. Not the one that just came out.
No. That was the last one I went to.
Hmm.
And the one before that was, like, 3 years before that.
So I just saw the last Star Wars movie, you know, the one that just came out.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of negative things about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who hate on it, who've been hating on it. I thought it was fine. Like, some people think that's terrible. It's terrible. You know, great. That's your opinion. I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't have super negative feelings towards it. But there were some things that I didn't like, just like in every movie.
Right, right. Yeah. Every movie, there's things that you don't like.
Right. I mean, even if they had done the things, like, for instance, the evil guy, Snoke. The bad guy. I felt like he was pretty underdeveloped And it's just kind of like his...
Well, I heard that made him like all this whole powerful thing, and then he dies really easily.
Yeah, so I guess spoilers.
Well, if you haven't seen it yet, it's like you're not a diehard fan, so...
Yeah, you probably don't care. Yeah, he just like dies all of a sudden.
Right.
And I thought that was weird, like, oh, he's dead? Maybe he's not dead. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in the movie, it sure looks like I don't know how you survive getting chopped in half with a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty sweet the way he died.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But anyway... So yeah, I think talking about the movie after
that's
you watch it, especially if you watch, it depends on, you know, what the movie you watch is. Like, let's say you watch Schindler's List.
Oh yeah.
You know, there can be a lot of movies can get across a message in a way that nothing else can. It really is. I think movies should be viewed as just another medium of art. They're certainly not made that way.
No.
Most movies aren't made that way today.
Right.
But that's really what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's art in motion. And so, you know, movies can really affect you. Like I've had a few movies lately that really impacted me that for literally a couple days, I was kind of like in the haze, like the fog of this movie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I most of the time that comes from documentaries for me. In fact, I'm like, I think most people here know I'm not a movie guy. Like, I don't really enjoy.
You used to be.
I used to be, yeah.
In college, you were.
Yeah. Because I liked to just sit around and not do anything. I was kind of lazy. but, like, I'm not a movie guy. I don't really enjoy sitting down and watching movies very much.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
Sure.
But I do enjoy, like, if I'm going to sit down and watch something, I typically go to the documentaries on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, I guess it's, you get to learn a little bit as well. Like, it's not just storytelling. It's not just fantasy. It's just something about it.
Yeah.
Restrepo is one of those that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We watched a while back ago.
About Iraq.
Yeah, and that was one that, like, had me in a daze for a while.
Totally. I know what you mean.
But, yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I think that a lot of movies, we forget, like, it's just an art of storytelling.
Right. Movies should be viewed... I think they're for the most part viewed negatively by like diehard Catholic families.
Mm-hmm.
I think people tend to have a negative view of the movie industry, and I get why. It's because they're filled with a bunch of filth.
Right.
Okay. They're basically like, how close to porn can we come?
Right.
That we won't offend the Christian audience.
Right.
I mean, and it's repulsive and offensive. But there are some movies out there that are good. You know, a movie I saw lately. Very good. Arrival.
Don't know that one.
It's about aliens. They come, and I forget her name, but the chick who looks like Pam from The Office.
Gina Fisher?
Well, it's not her.
Oh.
It's another lady, but she looks like her.
Okay.
I think people will know what I'm talking about, especially if you've seen the movie. Good movie.
Well, so it goes back to a good storytelling, which is exactly how Jesus, like, told his stories to people. Like,
right.
It was never direct. It was always a storyteller. It was always a parable.
Exactly.
And that's because people can, like, relate to that, and they go, oh, yeah, I know that this part of the story, this redemption part of the story, or this suffering part of the story, I know this part.
Right.
And I can relate to this.
And it helps you walk in another person's shoes.
Right.
Through the character.
I agree.
Anyway, when we get back, we're going to be talking about how to keep Sundays holy. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
Winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We have been drinking Polar Eclipse by Rough Tail Brewing, courtesy of the Father Brian Ketterer. We just got done talking about movies, having a movie night with your family, how it is not correct to say that abuse means not to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going to talk about Sundays.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about the whole abuse thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happened with Prohibition.
That's exactly what happened.
Everybody knows that was the worst.
Mm-hmm. And they had to backtrack.
Totally. I mean, you can't... Anyway, we don't need to talk about Prohibition. I feel like everybody knows that was a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're talking today about how to celebrate Sundays.
This is an interesting topic, I think.
Yeah, because... Let me
it's
just
one, it's one that's gonna like I'm not gonna like I think almost
because it's I don't like having to change
right
okay
I think that's part of my issue.
So the other day in prayer, this is just about that. It's not about Sundays. I was just praying, like I've still been reading Saint Faustina's diaries, and it's just like she is just out of this world, literally. You're like, even
oh yeah,
I mean at this point literally, but even when she was alive, she was like literally already like living in heaven. Kind of. And just the stuff, basically she just gave her life to suffering and just embraced it. And so it's just so inspiring. And I was praying the other day, like, God, I really want your will to be done. And then I had to admit to him, I got to be honest with you, God, like, I'm kind of nervous about that.
Right.
Okay. It makes me a little scared because I don't know what you're going to want me to do. And I might not like it.
Dude, I've had that same prayer where it's like, Lord, I really want your will to be done, but I got to be honest, every time I've read a saint's, you know, biography of like them telling you that and then what you've put them through.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want your will to be done, but I'm really nervous about what's going to happen. And I don't know if I can hang it. I don't know if I can hang.
Like Mother Teresa said something to the effect of, no wonder you have so many enemies when this is how you treat your friends.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. It is. And I've had that prayer where it's like, you know, thy will be done, but, you know.
Can you make it a lot like my will?
Can you gradually get there? You know, yeah. Like, can we stair step our way?
If there's any wiggle room in there, this would be unless the direction I would head.
Unless it's like what I'm thinking, then let's go, you know.
Right.
Yeah, dude, that I've had that.
I will buy a lottery ticket on the way home, God. You're right. That is what I need to do.
That is not anything that I've ever said.
I mean, what if...
I've never bought a lottery ticket.
I've bought a scratch-off ticket. I've never bought a Powerball ticket. I think when you say, I'm playing the lottery, people assume you're playing the Powerball. That's right. I mean, I've bought dollar scratch-off tickets. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm a net positive on scratch-off tickets.
I may have bought a scratch-off ticket before.
You know what I think?
Maybe back in college.
I think they're good stocking stuffers. They're a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Put a scratch out. I mean, you could win $12. Maybe another free ticket. Who knows? Anyway, we're not talking about the lottery today.
Not what we're talking.
We're playing the lottery.
Nope.
Let's just see how many addictions we can talk about today. Drinking, gambling.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we did mention porn.
Yeah, earlier.
Anyway, we're really talking about a very, very good thing, about how to celebrate Sundays. What does it look like? What is a well-celebrated Sunday look like? Because just as a disclaimer, I am terrible at this. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're not talking about this because I've got it down and figured out. You know, those who can't do have a podcast.
Right.
But you know who's really good at it? It's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so there's just been many times where I've said, oh, let's just, you know, do blah, 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 blah. And she'll say, I don't want to do that. It's Sunday. And when she does it, it kind of catches me off guard and I scratch my head and it's like, yeah, well, you're right. I guess we don't need to do that on Sunday. And it just kind of, she's just much better at this than me. And it's over our marriage. It's made me think about, I haven't, you know, like done a whole lot to change it,
mm-hmm.
but at least I've had an attitude change, or maybe just a realization that, yeah, you know, we should be living Sundays differently.
Right.
You know, I think everybody knows that. Every good Catholic knows Sundays should be different.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because I think you have to think of it, you can think of it two different ways. You can think of it as Sunday is the end of your week, or Sunday is the beginning of your week.
Okay.
If Sunday's the end of your week, then it's like, okay, I'm finally done. Let's do all the other stuff with, you know, regarding my religion. Let's get to Mass. Let's do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
However, you know, when we tithe, we're supposed to give the first part of our income to tithing.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to, when you wake up, you're supposed to give that first moment to God. So I think that it's the same way with the week. Is you can think of it as, nope, Sunday is the beginning of the week, which is actually accurate. Sunday is the first day of the week.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And nope, we're starting this week off with Mass, getting together with our family, and you know, being together as a family before we get into the weekdays.
Yeah, sure.
I think that may be able to help transform the idea of whether or not. Or not transform, but maybe get your mind right on how to observe Sundays.
Kind of a glass half full approach.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that way of thinking about it.
Just like, nope, we're starting this week off with Mass, family time, and leisure.
So my attitude has always been, yeah, Sunday we go to Mass, and then when we get home from Mass, we're done celebrating Sunday, and now basically it's just like Saturday.
Free day.
Yeah, it's just like, this is just a continuation of the weekend. I've been to Mass.
Right.
And,
check that.
Right.
Check that off.
Yep. Boom. It's Sunday. I did go to Mass, and so now I'm gonna just keep going as if it's just a weekend. You know, it's just weekend.
Right.
But really, I should be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Even the Lord rested.
Totally.
And it's not because like he got tired, because you know it's not like the Lord needed the break.
Right.
You know, because he's God.
Yeah, he doesn't get tired.
Right. But he did that, I think. I'm not like a theologian, obviously, but I think he probably did that to show us that we need a break and we need to have downtime and leisure time to reorient ourselves going into work week.
Right, because we don't rest so that we can go back to work.
Right.
We work so that we can rest. Because leisure and resting really is what we're made for.
Mm-hmm.
We were made to rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And in heaven, it will be eternal rest. We even
right.
call it that.
Right.
Okay, so we were made for rest. That is our first, like the original state.
Right.
And it was only after the fall that now we had this labor we had to do in mm-hmm. order to be able to, you know, be able to rest. So, you know, we have to think about it that way. So... And I don't want to get too scrupulous on this topic.
Because
I think that's what you were kind of mentioning.
Yeah, we over the break, when we were saying, okay, here's our topic, you know, we started kind of talking about it. And I get very hesitant on this topic. Only because, you know, okay, so we're talking about observing the whole Sunday as a day of rest.
Uh-huh.
You know, as the Sabbath, which is what we're called to do.
Yeah.
But I think if you go from what you were talking about, where you go from, to Mass and then you check that box off and then you go do other things and that, you know, you're done. You mow the yard, you go to the store, whatever. And then you go to, nope, we're going to be very intentional about how we act during Sunday. I feel like it can be a slippery slope into very scrupulous of, nope. I don't know where we got this, but it's, you know, the light switch, is that too much work to turn it on?
Well, that was from our buddy Ken, who grew up Jewish.
That's right.
And they would turn all the lights on right before the Sabbath.
Sabbath, right. That's right.
Because they weren't allowed to flip the light switch on the Sabbath.
Because it was too much work.
It was considered work.
Right.
I mean, it's like, obviously, guys, this has gone overboard a little bit.
Right.
If that's where you're at. But I think that we should prepare for Sunday. That's something I don't do. I'm terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about, all right, tomorrow's Sunday. What do I need to get done today on Saturday?
Right.
So that tomorrow I can be free.
Right.
Be free to rest, be free to be with my family,
mm-hmm.
be free to serve the poor. I mean, the catechism calls us to specific things. And the Corporal Works of Mercy is one of the things it says, names specifically that Sundays are made for.
Right.
Leisure and service. Christian service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, I think that we need to try to, you know, it's like, oh, got to mow the yard. Try to mow it on Saturday so that you don't have to mow it on Sunday.
Right.
And if something comes up and you can't mow it on Saturday, that's okay.
Right.
You can mow it on Sunday.
Right.
That's all right. But we should definitely, absolutely be refraining from servile work on Sunday. Because that is really part of the law.
Right. And it's the intention.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, not all people are going to be able to do that. If you're a doctor, you might get called in on Sunday.
Right.
Because you got to go save somebody's life. I mean, obviously, that's fine.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think there's too many people. I think on the Richter, or not the Richter scale, but on a scale.
A sliding scale.
A sliding scale. We're all on the side. Most of us are on the side of we don't observe it probably properly.
Right.
Not that we're too scrupulous. I think we probably don't serve it the right way. But I think that if you're newbie at it and you just jump into it, it's very easy. It's a slippery slope to get into scrupulosity very quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's pick it up on the other side.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan, talking about what you need to do on Sunday, what you shouldn't be doing on Sunday.
Beer is delicious.
Beer is a good thing for Sunday, I think, if you just want to know.
This Polar Eclipse from Rough Tail Brewing is delicious. Imperial Stout, bourbon barrel aged.
Which are things that I really like. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a bourbon barrel aged stout you didn't like?
Not off the top of my head.
I can't think of one. I'm sure there's...
I had their founders...
I would imagine there's some out there that aren't good, but...
I had the founders bourbon barrel aged this week, and it's delicious.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Founders is good.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to read for you from the Catechism.
I would like to be read too.
Okay. Well, pull up your reading mat.
Crisscross applesauce. Crisscross.
You can't say Indian style anymore.
No, that's offensive.
People get...
You know what? Indian style.
Yeah.
We had the warning. If you're offended...
Yeah, you can't be offended. Adam's wife is Indian, okay? That's right. He's allowed to say it.
An eighth?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
These days.
That's true. My kids are 116.
I understand you're allowed to claim to be Indian just because you have high cheekbones. Apparently, you can get away with that.
Know nothing about that.
Well, if you watched the news...
Which I don't.
You wouldn't know about a certain senator, but... Anyway, we're certainly not talking politics today.
No.
Well, actually, we might, just a little bit. From a general, very... very nice place.
My Excedrin.
Okay, so this is 2187, 2187, in the Catechism, talking about Sunday activities. It says, sanctifying Sundays and holy days requires common effort. Okay, so I think that's important. That something we all have to do it together. In order to make this right, in order to form the culture, then we all have to do it together. Okay?
You have to start small to big, right?
So
it starts with your family, and then your friends, and then the community.
Right, exactly. And then your parish, yeah, and outwards.
Right.
Okay, so it requires common effort. Every Christian should avoid making unnecessary demands on others that would hinder them from observing the Lord's Day. Okay, so this is like when I've talked about, you know, when I told Pamela, hey, let's do this. One of the things that I've said before is, hey, let's go out to eat. And she said, you know, like, we can. I prefer not to do that on Sunday. And it's just like, yeah, you're right. Because now I'm making somebody else work on Sunday. And when we did our leisure episode, one of the things that that I came across over and over and over again is that we have to have these like a cultural norm where Sunday is a day where, you know, of rest. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, the poor will get no rest. It's the poor who must work on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's almost like we need to make it rearrange the economics of our society so that the stuff you would do on Sunday takes place on Saturday. The money that they would make on Sunday, they get made on Saturday. You know what I mean? And like, otherwise, they get no rest.
Right.
Because rich people don't have to work. They can afford not to. They rest whenever they want. And they can work for 2 weeks straight if they want and then take a month off. But poor people can't do that. So anyway, that's what it's saying, is that otherwise...
That's why I don't take any days off.
Okay. Then it goes on to say, you know, there's some activity, there's some things that will always require people to work, but we should all take care to set aside sufficient time for leisure. One good quote by Augustine is, "The charity of truth seeks holy leisure. The necessity of charity accepts just work." And I think that's kind of like the medium, the middle road of what we were talking about. Like,
yeah, I agree. It's not like the being scrupulous about what you're doing, but also not like observing actually what Sunday is.
Right, exactly. So I used this example earlier with you off air that I watched this movie. It's called Brooklyn. Came out about a year ago. Super good movie. This is one of those movies that just really affected me for days. Okay. I was kind of like living in the haze of this movie. And not everything in this movie is great, but as a movie, I found, and as a story, I found it beautiful and very impactful. So I recommend it to adult audiences. And then you can decide whether or not your children, depending on their age, can watch the movie. But anyway, in there, there's this one scene where in Ireland, this is like 100 years ago or something, this girl is working at a shop and this lady comes in on a Sunday. The shop was open for like an hour or two after church just to sell bread and stuff that would need to be fresh for Sunday. People might need on Sunday. And a lady comes in, wants to buy shoe polish. And the owner of the store kind of embarrasses her in front of everybody in the store, tells her, "That's not really a Sunday item now, is it?" And says, and even asks her, "What were you doing yesterday that you couldn't have come in and bought the shoe polish yesterday?" Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's just so different. It's like, here's a store owner.
Right.
Like, embarrassing one of her customers for wanting to purchase something in her store.
Right.
And in the movie, it portrays the store owner as kind of a crotchety lady. And even the people in the store were like, just sell her the stupid shoe polish. Like, get over yourself, right. You know. But there was still, like, also, you could tell they all were kind of like, yeah, you probably should have bought it yesterday. But, you know, store lady, just get over it. Sell her the push, you know. But this is, it's just so different from what I think
we're used to.
Our culture today.
So what do you do on Sundays? What's a typical Sunday for the Niles?
It tends to be pretty normal. Like, that's what I'm saying. I am so bad at this. I want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think about a little bit, only a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time it's because my wife brings it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that I'm trying to get better at. It might be my New Year's resolution. So if you guys are still looking
it's not a resolution. It's a holy strategy.
Yeah. Holy strategy. Because this is a holy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm trying to
lose weight.
Right. I went to the gym, not as crowded as I expected.
That's good.
Just on a side note.
Okay.
So anyway, it's something that I want to get better at. What do you do on Sunday? Because you do Sundays pretty well.
Yeah. So every Sunday for us is almost the exact same.
Okay.
And I was telling you off air, it's like, I enjoy it, but I also like when Sundays are over at times in a selfish sense, I think like, oh my goodness, I still have so much stuff I should have done today and I didn't do it. But that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning mass, we come home really quick, grab our clothes, go over to my parents' house. My parents live a mile away. My parents cook bacon, pancakes, eggs, basically every time, which is what we like. So I don't want them to change it.
Right.
We eat breakfast. We hang out in the living room after breakfast, whether that be just watching the kids play, going outside when it's warm, throwing the football, whatever it is. And we just stay over at my parents' house till about 8 o'clock and hanging out with them. My sister and brother-in-law come over. My other sister and brother-in-law come over when they're in town. And so I literally stay at my parents' house from after Mass till about 8 o'clock. And we just be.
Right. And so you have to prepare for that. Because there's, stuff that people need to get done on Sunday.
And that's what I always, like, that's what I was telling you kind of off air, is like, it kind of frustrates me at times, because I get home and it's like, oh, I still don't have my lawn mowed. I still don't have my garage cleaned. I still don't have, like, my clothes ready for the next week. I still don't have, like, all this stuff that I could have done today, but I was over at my parents' house just hanging out. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the purpose.
Right.
I should have, if I can, I can get that done on Saturday, but, and it always works out throughout the week, you know, even though maybe my yard looks bad for a day.
So I was listening to a podcast, and I don't remember which one it was, but a priest was talking about how when he was in seminary, he went and stayed with this family who lived on a farm for a summer. Mm-hmm. And he said it was just so inspiring that every Saturday they worked like dogs to get everything done so that Sunday they did nothing. They didn't do nothing,
right,
but they did no work. Right. And they cooked, you know, like,
yeah, Sundays for us
a lot of food
is very meal oriented,
and they spent time together, and you know, just they really came together as a family every Sunday, and it was like a big, you know, like a thing. On Saturday, you get up in the morning and you work and you work, so that on Sunday you can rest.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that's the right attitude. We work so that we can rest.
Right.
It's not like we rest so that we have energy to go back to work. Because we're not living to work. We work to live.
Right.
Or we work to rest. And I just think that that's something that we all can think about. I personally don't know anybody who is the opposite. We've talked about being too scrupulous with Sundays. I don't know anybody who's overly scrupulous with Sundays. I know a lot of people. Maybe I do know somebody who just in their own private life is, you know,
that way,
taking it overboard. But I don't...
I think a great thing to do for Sundays is invite your priest over for lunch or dinner.
Sure.
Especially lunch, because typically they can get away after noon mass or whatever, you know, and say have a late lunch.
Yeah.
And I think that having a priest over with your family is something great for your kids to see the priest outside of mass. And it's just great to, you know, have your priest over. So that's something else that we're trying to do this year. Together, Haley and I, like, we've kind of made it a thing. Is like, we need to start inviting priests over to our house for lunch, dinner, whatever.
I think that's a witness that cannot be overvalued.
Yeah.
Having your children grow up around clergy.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, think about it, guys.
Speaking of clergy, thanks to Father Brian Ketterer for providing this beer today.
Indeed.
Rough Tail Brewing, Polar Eclipse. We talked about a movie or movies in general. And observing Sunday.
Make this Sunday a good one. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.